Amen, amen, amen. It's just good to be in the house of God one more time, amen. Come on, let's give God some praise up in here. See, you know, the choir was singing a few minutes ago, talking about lifting Jesus. Help me lift Jesus. Did you lift Jesus this morning? Did you lift Jesus this morning? You know, you need to lift Jesus not only this morning, but you need to lift Jesus every morning. Because by his grace and mercy, he's the one that wake you up. He's the one that starts you on your way. He's the one that give you a reasonable portion of strength and health in your body. He's the one that can do all things. And the Bible says all things through him who strengthened me. Amen? Amen. So we serve an awesome God. And so it's just a privilege to be in the house of God one more time. And let me just pause right here and say thank you, Reverend Burks, for what you have said about me. Sometimes I shake my head when you start talking, but hey, praise God for you. And you know what? I thank God for St. John, because I don't know. You know, as the little boy said, we've come a long ways. Amen. And so I thank God for you this very morning. I thank God for you every day, for what you do, for the way that you act, the way that you love, the way that you carry yourself. And so it's just great to be in the house of God one more time. Amen. Amen. And I just don't know what to say after things have been said and things have been done the way that they've been said and done. All I can do is just praise God in spite of, because he's worthy of all praise. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we do come this morning with bowed heads and humble hearts. Father God, we pray right now, Father God, that the words that you place into my heart, into my spirit, into my mind, Father God, let those that's able to hear what thus says the Lord. Father God, you put me here at this time, at this place, for these words. And I pray right now, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. And if you have your Bibles, if you'd open them with me to the book of Psalm 57, and you don't have to stand to your feet because it's already been read. But I want you to turn to Psalm 57, and I want you to look down at the seventh verse from the King James translation of the Bible, amen? Amen. And from the King James translation of the Bible, it reads thus: my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Amen? Amen. And I just want to talk for just a few. The fix is in. All right. See, I know it's easy to claim a faith fix when everything is going the way that you want it to go. As long as your children are behaving themselves, and the bills are being paid, and the supervisor, the boss, the one that's looking over you is not on your back, your neighbors are minding their own business, and we have no problem walking and talking with our minds stayed on Jesus. But the psalmist, now, some of you say that you read this psalm, and some of you say, well, if it's David, well, if it's David, as most theologians assume that it is, then he makes this claim in a time when things are not looking good for him. He's looking at things when things are pretty grim. You see, David is running. David is fleeing from Saul's murderous threats. And he finds himself cowering. He finds himself hiding in a cave. Now, whether it's David or not, one thing is for sure. One thing is certain, that these are difficult and oppressive times. And yet, the psalmist sings himself into a place of faith and trust. You know, commentaries, McLaren says this. He says, in the dark, he believes in the light. You see, true faith gives off sweet perfume during times of tribulation, during time when trouble comes. It gives off a sweet perfume. You see, the more the strain of oppression and challenge, the greater the expression of unalterable faith in God who sees us through. And therefore, the psalmist repeats himself not to convince himself, but to allow his convention full reign on his soul in spite of everything that he's going through. He still have joy. Oh, I just wanted to ask somebody today that when you go through your troubles, when you go through your trials, when you can't pay your house note, when your car is about to get repossessed, when your car go out there and it didn't get repossessed, but the battery is down and it won't start, do you still have joy?
Right.
So let's do this. Let's take a look at this fixed heart. You see, the word heart in Hebrews mean far more than that organ that pumps life-giving blood through your veins. You see, the heart is that part of you that covers your thoughts and intent and your capacity to love. When the psalmist say his heart is fixed, he means that he's fixed on the love of God. He's fixed on the thought of God and for the purpose of serving God. Is that your reason? Is that why your heart is fixed? Are you fixed because you're serving God? Are you fixed because you're pleasing God? Are you fixed because you're loving God? Somebody need to understand that God is. It's the writer's entire communion with God that envelops his heart, and not just in the present, but for all time. You see, he is making a declaration of commitment to an all-wise, all-knowing Father in whom he placed his trust. Oh, let me get on somebody's street. Is all your trust in God? Do you trust in God? Do you trust in God when your money is funny? Do you trust in God when your friends leave you? Do you trust in God when nobody want to talk to you? Do you trust in God? Mm-hmm. All right. You see, in order to have a fixed heart, you must first have a fixed determination.
Yeah.
Okay. See, there's no room for wishy-washy or second guessing. If you got a heart that flickers like a butterfly wing, you show up for church when things are going well and stay home when life gives you lemons. I heard somebody mention lemons earlier today. When life gives you lemons, then you don't have a fixed heart. We count on God to be consistent in his love for us. I dare ask, should we offer him anything less in return? As if the psalmist can keep his mind stayed on the Lord during his turmoil and strife, shouldn't we feel a little shame that we struggle to display a daily faithfulness to Christ and his church amidst all of the blessing that he has bestowed upon us? The last time I checked, none of us was hiding in a cave under threat of assassination. Fixed hearts should not be as rare as they are today. You see, somebody said, my mind is fixed and my heart is fixed and my mind's made up. Is it? Do you show it? Not just at church, but do you show it when nobody is looking at you? Do you show it when you're by yourself? Do you show it when somebody is cursing you out? Do you show it in the grocery store when somebody's standing there and you're in a hurry and they're counting pennies because they don't have enough? Instead of giving them what they need to get on out, then you...
Right.
Rare today, but not only that, but let me say this. Oh, praise God. Let me say it like this. If we look at, or we take a look at our fixed heart, then let's do something else. Let's take a look at the enemy of a fixed heart. You see, every time there is something good, there is something bad. Every time good is about, evil is always around the corner. You see, maybe this 21st century enemy is so formidable that our hearts can't handle it. Maybe if we call out the enemy and call him out by name, maybe he'll seem less forbearance. If we face him head on, we can overcome him by the word of God. If we do these things. But who is that enemy? So let's take a look at the enemy. That enemy, he's laziness. His imps whisper in your whisper their sweet discouragement in your ear and tell you you can take a rest right now. I'm talking about your enemies, your enemy of the fixed heart. The enemy of the fixed heart is selfishness. He's selfishness. He dangles the drug of materialism before your eyes and tell us that we deserve more out of life than what we're getting. That's the enemy that I'm talking about. I'm talking about greed, one that convinces you that God doesn't need us to promote his plan of salvation. I'm talking about the enemy. He is the fame. He is the one that polarizes you with popularity. Do you know who your enemy is? The enemy, he's pride. He tell you it doesn't take all that to be a Christian. He's worldly. He teaches you to think like the world and act like the world. He's carnal. He places no value on your soul until he owns it for himself. He's critical. He condemns others without reason and judges others without mercy. He's suspicious. He stirs up doubt about your faith. He's hypocritical. He say one thing and does another. He live one way in church and another way at home. He's holier than thou. He convinced you that no one can do it better. No one is better than you. The enemy is busy, church. He's so busy that we no longer notice his handiwork. He causes us to display a flip-flop kind of faith. One minute, there's fire set up in your bones. And the next minute, we grow cold as ice water. One minute, our faith is elevated to heavenly heights. And the next, we are suffering from spiritual depression. You see, that's the kind of life so many Christians are contented to experience. I'm telling you today, church, they need a heart fix. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, we are human. No one can escape all the highs and lows of life. Our emotions will carry us in many directions. You see, only a broken clock is right once a day. You see, but your emotions should not dictate what goes on in your heart, who you are in the inner core of your being. I'm talking about on the inside, deep inside. Your heart must be fixed and your mind gotta be made up. You see, that's nothing. When your heart is fixed and your mind is made up, and I hear you say, nothing can separate me from the love of God. You need to have a made-up mind. You need to have a fixed heart. You need to be ready to run the race while it is still day, because when night comes, no man can work. You need to be able to do that for Jesus Christ. But not only that, finally, let me say this, because I don't want to hold you so long. Let me say this, is that finally, this psalm is here with you. Will the psalmist's experience motivate you towards a fixed heart? When you meditate on the word of the psalmist, I just want to know if it inspires you.
When you meditate on the word of the psalmist, does it stimulate you? When you meditate on the word of the psalmist, does it encourage you? You see, we all need encouraging sometime. We all need help sometime. We all need to have somebody to look to sometime. But then there's something else that I want to say. There's another place in the scripture where the psalmist writes of himself in the third person. And that's in Psalm 112, 7 and 8a. And he says this: he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. That, my brothers and my sisters, the secret of a fixed relationship with the Lord. Trust. If you trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Your faith will not falter, your faith will not fail, your fluttering emotion, your change in attitude, your unreliable mood will keep you at bay from your soul trust in the Almighty God. You will bear you up with all of your pain and all of your strain. He will keep you. How do you get to this solid point in your faith? Well, I'm glad you asked. You turn your eyes in on yourself. Keep your eyes on the prize and press forward. David will look to heaven from whence all of his help came. You see, you can't have a solid relationship with the Lord unless you make it a habit of communing with him on a regular basis. In other words, all I'm saying is that you need to talk to Jesus. You need to talk to him on a regular basis. Everything great about our Christian life is fed by our private time with the Most High God. We can't handle hours of strenuous service without refueling ourselves through solidary communion and quiet meditation with our Father. You've got to do it. You've got to go into your secret closet. You got to go where your hiding place is. You got to go and you got to tell God about all of your troubles, and the Lord will strengthen your heart. Just one prayer at a time. Just one prayer at a time. So let's take a lesson from the psalmist playbook and follow his example. I want you to tell your neighbor, the fix is in. Oh, I can't hear you. I want you to tell your neighbor, neighbor, the fix is in. Well, how do you know that the fix is in? Well, Psalm 28 and 7 tells me that the Lord is my strength and my shield. That tells me the fix is in. And Psalm 27 and 1, and the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The fix is in. In Psalm 18 and 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. I know that the fix is in. In Psalm 29 and 11, the Lord will bless his people with peace. I know that the fix is in. In Psalm 34 and 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I know that the fix is in Psalm 103 and 1. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I know that the fix is in Psalm 71 and 16. I will go in strength of the Lord. I know the fix is in. How do you know that the fix is in? Because Psalm 57 and 7 said, my heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. I will sing praises. Good God Almighty, I'll give you praise. The fix is in. How do you know the fix is in? Because the songwriter says, praise God, from whence all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, your heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I know the fix is in. I know it is. How do you know, preacher? Well, the Bible says, Jesus come through 42 generations, went to Calvary's mountain, died, hanging on a cross, buried in a tomb. Third day he rose with all power. He fixed it. All power of heaven and earth in his hand. He's fixed it. He's fixed. The fix is in. He's fixed it. Then he went on back to heaven. And now he's sitting on the right side of the Father, making intercessions for you and for me. I just wanted to stop by for just a few minutes today to tell you that the fix is in. He fixed it more than 2,000 years ago. So, is your heart fixed? Do you know who your enemies are? And will you meditate on a fixed heart? So as I get ready to take my seat, I just want to tell you one thing. I love the Lord because this is the first Sunday. Yes, it is. And I heard the songwriter say, the blood of Jesus that wash away all of my sins. I know he will. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. Somebody say yeah. Somebody say yeah. Somebody say yeah. He's all right.